flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest 100% organic cotton sheets from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with sheets that feel breathable to sleep in. You'll experience the purest softness on night one and feel your sheets get even softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first set of sheets at bollandbranch.com with code Odyssey. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Okay, business leaders, are you playing defense or are you on the offense? Are you just, excuse me, hey, I'm trying to talk business here. As I was saying, are you here just to play or are you playing to win? If you're in it to win, meet your next MVP, NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is your full business management system in one suite. With NetSuite, you're running your accounting, your financials, HR, e-commerce, and more, all from your online dashboard. One source of truth means every department's working from the same numbers with no data delays. And with AI embedded throughout, you're automating manual tasks, plus getting fast insights for your next move. Whether you're competing on your home turf or looking to conquer international markets, NetSuite helps you get the W. Over 40,000 businesses have already made the move to NetSuite, the number one cloud ERP.
Right now, get the CFO's Guide to AI and Machine Learning at netsuite.com/special. Get this free guide at netsuite.com/special.
Okay, guys.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Just looking at a video during the break of Brian Callahan, the head coach of the Tennessee Titans. He's at the Senior Bowl, as are most all of the current head coaches in the NFL and GMs and whatnot. He did an interview with somebody, and it's a cut from that interview that Will Levis is going to go spend a couple months under the watchful eye of Jordan Palmer, noted quarterback guru and brother of Carson Palmer.
Oh, that should
fix things. I'm sure he'll be fine
well,
now.
Jordan Palmer is the one that Josh Allen worked with, right? Or works with. They use a lot of the pitch tracking technology and everything. And one thing they've realized in the NFL over the past decade is they used to think, well, you're either born with accuracy or you're not.
It's really hard
to improve quarterbacks' accuracy. But Dak Prescott and Josh Allen are a couple of the more notable examples of guys who actually improved their accuracy through just refining their technique. So it's a lot. The quarterback instruction is a lot less cavemanish than it used to be.
Yeah.
There you go, throw that football over our mountain. That's what they used to say. I used to hear that all the time from the quarterback's coach.
That was the coaching, huh?
Can you throw it over that our mountain or not?
So Nick and D'Amico are at the Super Bowl.
Senior Bowl.
Did I say Super Bowl? Senior Bowl.
Yeah.
Boy, Freudian slip. Someday they'll be at the Super Bowl participating, we hope.
Apparently.
Senior Bowl, yeah.
If they were there right now.
just getting ready.
Waiting for everybody to come.
That's right. On Wednesday before Radio Row. The Senior Bowl in Mobile, Alabama. So what are you hoping that they're shopping for there, Seth, at the Senior Bowl?
Wide receiver.
Yep.
Interior defensive lineman, because I think you can. There's always room for an upgrade there, even though those guys played well.
Yep.
I think there's if you get a slam dunk stud guy that's out there all three downs, that type of guy, that can make that defense even better. Now that's also personally motivated. The offense is the side of the ball we're most concerned about.
Yeah.
So I would say wide receiver, interior offensive line, and guard. A running back or fullback of some variety.
Ooh, a fullback, huh?
Yeah. Now, the fullback's not going to go in the first couple of rounds.
Yeah.
But the Senior Bowl and also some of the smaller college guys, that's you can find your diamonds in the rough.
Okay.
I know Andrew Beck came in and did a good job against the Chiefs, but he's still kind of that converted tight end slash fullback type.
Yeah.
So I bet that's one that it's not going to be a marquee signing, maybe not even a draft pick, but maybe they see somebody at the Senior Bowl that was a college running back, but like, yeah, I don't know, this guy might be a good fullback.
That would 1,000% break the tendencies that Nick Caserio has had that predate D'Amico Ryans. He hasn't drafted. Has he drafted a single small school guy since he's gotten here that you can?
Oh, right. Yeah, as opposed to when he was with the Patriots.
Yeah, where they did it all the time.
The Patriots drafted small schools. There were times where their top two picks in the draft were not even like Division I A guys.
Right.
They love their small school guys. Yeah, that would be a tendency buster. Now, Nick, when we asked him about that, he laughed it off. He acted like I was a moron for even bringing it up. You know, the way Nick does that with me sometimes. And I'm all right. I can take it. But there's something to it. Like, there have been way too many Power Five. Tank Dell is the only one who wasn't a Power Five guy. And just by the skin of his teeth, because yeah. U of H became a Power Five after
the next
Tank Dell
year.
Left.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm looking at it now. Davis Mills, Nico Collins, Brevin Jordan, Garrett. Well, yeah, like it's all Power Five. And once D'Amico got in the building, I don't even need to read the names.
Became heavily SEC?
Well, it became heavily, like, not just Power Five, but the powerful Power Five. Like, the first draft with D'Amico here, Ohio State, Alabama, Penn State, Houston, TCU, Alabama, Notre Dame, Iowa State, Pitt. And so those last couple, that's Xavier Hutchinson and Brandon Hill. And then last year, Georgia, Notre Dame, USC, Ohio State, Oregon, Louisville, USC, Auburn, and Michigan.
Yeah.
I mean,
I think with Nick, what I suspect, because he plays it pretty close to the vest when you start asking him about, you know, his strategies and what have you.
Yeah.
With Nick, like most people who have been in personnel for a long, long time, they know that ultimately it's always a crapshoot. And it's easy to claim that you always knew a guy was going to be great after he's great and you drafted him. But they know that there's a real good chance that any one of your draft picks is not going to work out.
Yep.
That's just the way it works. And if you go back to drafting Derek Stingley versus Sauce Gardner, one of the things they really liked about him was not just that they had tape of him versus SEC wide receivers. They just had more tape of him versus really good wide receivers. They also had practice tape of him versus Jamar Chase and Jefferson. Like, they had
who are the two first team all pro wide receivers
yeah.
this year.
So it comes down to sample size. You've just got more to go off of, because I know as a fan, I sit there a lot of times and say, well, especially we would do this with players from University of Houston, well, yeah, but look at what he did against this school, or look at what he did against that school. And it's cool and it shows that they can do it, but it's still only a little glimpse. You didn't get to see them play against guys that good all the time. And I think with Nick, there was probably a big difference between him and Belichick in this regard.
Yeah.
Belichick obviously was going to win out in those arguments. But it seems like with Nick, he really values being able to have as many reps to watch against really good competition as possible.
Yeah, what am I watching? How much of a reasonable facsimile of what this guy's going to go against on Sundays am I watching right now, you know?
And I think when it comes time to take a flyer on guys, he probably looks at either late in the draft or the rookie free agents, like the two twins, the receivers there from last
Jankies,
year.
The Jankies. Yeah.
So, like, okay, you take those guys as rookie free agents, but for our really valuable draft picks, I want as much film and data on these guys as possible.
Yes, yes. I want as high a probability as you can feel like you have when evaluating these guys. Last year, this is a text message. Last year, we were good with Gerard Johnson potentially being our new OC. What do you think changed this year? Would you be upset if he's the guy? I think it's pretty simple. If I can speak for the people that don't want Gerard Johnson, I don't think those people dislike Gerard Johnson. And I'll speak for myself. I would rather they not hire somebody internally for this OC job. I'd rather it be somebody with a new vision for this team, new fingerprints, most importantly, with some experience calling plays. That's it
right.
for me.
I mean, it's as simple as, I think that anybody who asks that question knows what the answer is. It's that, all right, if they had gone 2 years, and for one, don't lump everybody in. Right. I wasn't eager for Gerard Johnson to be the offensive coordinator last year.
Last year?
So
yeah.
If your question is, for the people who wanted Gerard Johnson last year, why would they not want him this year? It's because I think they would have been assuming, all right, then you're just going to continue on with what you were able to do. I felt like Gerard just did not simply have enough NFL experience coaching to step in with a young quarterback and a defensive-minded head coach for that to be his first time. If it were a situation like with Matt Nagy or with Eric Bieniemy or anybody else up in Kansas City, that's a different deal. Mm-hmm. But because they have an offensive-minded head coach who's running the show.
Yep.
So I personally wasn't eager for Jahad Johnson last year. This year especially, people got a reality check and realized, oh, okay, it's not simply taking over this system the way it was run and that he's got experience with it. We need to get somebody, at least personally, I feel like I want somebody that's got some experience, not just calling plays, but also coaching other positions in the offense, all of that, like a more well-rounded background and upbringing in the league.
Do any of the names, there's been four names made public so far that are in for this job.
Yeah.
Jerod's one of them. The other three are Jeff Nixon, the Syracuse OC, Thad Lewis, the quarterback's coach for the Buccaneers, and Nick Cayley is getting interviewed tomorrow. Yeah. He's the passing game coordinator, and he's had many roles. Both he's with the Rams now, but he's with the Patriots for a number of years. Do any of them excite you so far? Are there any that you would get excited about?
No, and I don't get, but I also don't get distraught about that just because there have been plenty of really good offensive coordinators who don't have huge experience and they knock it out of the park.
Right.
So personally, I want somebody more experienced, but I'm not gonna claim that the house is burning down if they do take somebody that's got a little bit more limited experience or hasn't called plays. But I do hope that those guys have a good chunk of experience overall. Like with Cayley, there's always that part where you get to like, all right, well, he was with the Patriots from 2015 to 2022. Then he goes to the Rams. Last year was the first time that anybody made him any kind of a coordinator at all, passing game coordinator or anything. And I start to wonder, like, all right, he's not the boy genius that Sean McVay was. What kept him from maybe getting opportunities earlier? Yeah. So that's where my skepticism is.
Sure.
But I also, there's a huge crapshoot element to it if you're not going with one of the guys who's a staff. You bring Wade Phillips in as a defensive coordinator, and look, you could argue about, just how good he is. He's a really good defensive coordinator.
Yeah.
And typically with Wade Phillips, his track record is the first couple years he's there, his defenses are incredible. And then can he sustain it? That's the bigger question mark. But you feel very comfortable in that. I don't feel that way about any of the guys that have been interviewed so far or that are slated to be interviewed.
It's a little like a version of what you and I were just talking about with drafting habits. It's almost like these guys that they've interviewed so far are the equivalent of like group of five or small school guys where you don't really, you've got no film on what they're all about as a play caller. I mean, you have some on Jeff Nixon, but it's not been at the level. It's not been going against some of the defensive minds you're going to be going against hardcore in the NFL, whereas Chip Kelly is the equivalent of like the blue chip defensive ends that they're watching down at the Senior Bowl. Like, you know what that looks like.
Wow, what's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
Like,
my argument almost, as I'm thinking about it, my argument might for hiring an offensive-minded head coach might be less about the quarterback and more about Well, yeah, it's also a lot easier to find a defensive coordinator who's not going to get another chance at being a head coach.
Yeah.
But is a really good defensive coordinator.
Yeah.
Like a Dick LeBeau or a Wade Phillips or somebody
or
like that.
Or Steve Spagnuolo in Kansas
City. Yeah, right. Spagnuolo's probably not going to get another chance.
Yeah.
He's just going to stay there and just keep
The best thing that could happen to the NFL is for somebody to hire that guy as their head coach.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Hey, so you've got your, I was thinking about this the other day. Like, it was really cool. Something happened. I got some explanation of benefits for something medically. And I'm like, man, the football players, you guys get that annual checkup that you get with the league?
I get a health, like a brain and heart scan.
Yeah, you
scan.
Get like the full Monty on that thing.
Yeah,
man.
But you got to go do it at like, only one select location. So it's free and it's cool. It's like you might have to travel to the Cleveland Clinic.
Yeah.
But they do it at the Super Bowl. So on Wednesday, I'm going to go do it at noon. My only concern is I haven't gotten the details yet.
Okay.
I don't know if it's going to be fasting. I don't know if I'm going to supposed to be fasting.
I might get hungry, Seth, for a show.
Yeah, which usually is a... Look, I dabble in the intermittent fasting, but I got to be really careful about it when I do it and also do a radio show. Circumstances have to be just right. And Radio Row is not the best circumstance. Like, if I'm going to fast for a while, I've got to be really well rested without a lot of other distractions and everything.
Yeah.
I'm just warning you in advance that Wednesday morning might get hairy if I'm fasting in that moment.
You're warning me, and yet I feel like the audience is like rubbing their hands together like, oh.
You're gonna get me flipping out at you over some
triggered
harmless
Seth.
Thing. Don't put words in my mouth, Sean.
Right, exactly. Exactly. Well, that's good, man. Though that's cool that they do that. Where in New Orleans are they doing it?
Tulane is doing it, but I think it's in Metairie.
Okay. That's where the Saints practice facility is. That would stand to reason. I wonder if they're doing it somewhere like there.
Like at the facility or something.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll interview for the job.
Yeah. It's still
the
open?
The coaching job.
It's still
open. I'll bring in waving my good lipids, lipid numbers, and be like, look at this. I'll be here for the duration.
There's most job openings for anything out there, like in coaching, I don't want you to leave to go get. But if you could get a head coaching job, I would get my blessing. Anything else, I need you to stay.
One of my stipulations would be that I could continue to do my Houston sports radio show.
You could Gottlieb the whole thing? He's doing that.
I would negotiate with Odyssey to turn it into a three-hour show because, you know, I've only got so many hours in the day.
Sure.
The other 21 hours of the day, I'll be the coach of the Saints.
Well, and like every other coach out there, you'll remind us. Not every coach. D'Amico doesn't do this, but like many coaches out there, one noted former coach of the Texans, you'll remind us that those 21 hours you are
I'm working the entire
and
time
coaching and working.
I haven't slept in 7
coaching.
Days. That's how you know I'm good. Yeah.
I was hoping they do this screening thing like out on Radio Row. There'd be like a kiosk over there. You could watch all you guys get your checkups and your brain scans and everything.
Hey, remember we did that thing with Ross where we used artificial intelligence to come up with reasons where he should be the Texans offensive line coach?
Yeah.
And it was pretty impressive.
It was good.
I did that for the Dallas Cowboys job while that was still open. In the first time in history, I think, in the history of artificial intelligence, it spit out an accurate sports response because it sucks for sports. Usually you ask a sports-related question and it gets the stats all wrong and everything. It came back, and I was expecting it, and it was working. It was working. It was working. I was like, oh, you know, you could see that it was working on the project. I'm like, oh, it's taking a couple minutes. This is probably going to be pretty good. The simple response was, I can't find any evidence that Seth Payne should be the next head coach of the Cowboys.
And it was thinking that. At least it thought for a long time about it. Like, at least it seemed
because it was digging for something, anything.
That's true.
Anything at all.
No way.
And it didn't come up with a single
damn
thing.
Dude, you should
nothing.
You should put my name in and see what it comes up with. That'd be hilarious.
Probably, if it comes up with anything at all, I'm gonna be very, very insulted. Yes.
I've actually been in management positions before with companies. You know, that might be, you know, that...
If Jerry had wanted to go outside of his comfort zone, he should have hired co-head coaches Payne and Pendergast.
Payne and Pendergast. Yeah, hell yeah. That would have been way outside.
Can you
outside.
Imagine all the dirt that Cowboys fans would have gone through the archives on on the Odyssey website finding stuff we've said about Dallas in the past? Yeah.
That's all right. It's nothing that's probably hadn't happened with coaches up there before. It's all good.
Yeah.
Hey, you want to win a trip to Vegas? It could be yours. How? By tuning into Sports Radio 610. for an hour a day on the Odyssey app, live, rewind, show, podcast. Doesn't matter. As long as you're hanging out in the app, listening to us for at least an hour. We prefer it be more. But you will qualify. Your daily entry, either Sports Radio 610 or any of our participating sister stations, your daily entry for you to get into a contest to head to Vegas for the college basketball tournament in March. You and three friends could be wheels up to Vegas in March, each with an extra $5K in your pocket to have some fun out there for the ultimate college basketball tournament experience. Just log in and listen now on the Odyssey app for your chance to win this national contest. Up next, speaking of Vegas, the oddsmakers, they did not listen to my warning yesterday. We will tell you what that is coming up next.